The views and opinions expressed in this show do not represent those of Hutton Broadcasting or its employees.
Good morning. This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome to my radio show, Natural Medicine. I've been a DOM for about 10 years, published articles in Wellbeing Journal, Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine, and also on the website of the Foundation for Alternative and Integrative Medicine. For about the past 4 years, I've been teaching anatomy and physiology at various professional schools around Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Today, the show is going to be a little bit about mercury fillings, and we've heard that topic before. But the major topic for this show is taking control of your own health care. And joining me today by calling in from somewhere in the eastern United States is Roger. And Roger, to begin the show, has been listening to my show for some time and has a few comments about recent shows.
Well, hello, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming by and thanks for calling in. And just start. You had some things that you'd said you wanted to comment about recent shows.
Yes. Well, I enjoyed your show last week about the polio vaccine, and basically on how it for the most part is a fraud on the American people. And the, how shall I say it, the side effects of those vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I wanted to congratulate you and sit there and tell you that I'm now taking a flu vaccine every day.
Now, as shocking as that may seem, It probably requires a little more detail from you.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, instead of the flu vaccine shot, which helps very few people because it seems like they never get the, quote, strain right,
yeah.
I take 2,000 units of vitamin D3, and I take a scoop of the vitamin C mixture that you've recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had the flu.
And how many years does this go back?
This goes back 3 years.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. Here's a simple alternative to a commonly recommended vaccine, and it seems to work much better than the vaccine.
Yes. I also wanted to congratulate you for either the spontaneous remission of the Crohn's disease patient that you had a few episodes before, or the curing, of the Crohn's disease.
Yeah, and what you need to know about Roger is that his tongue is permanently in his cheek, so whenever he says something, there's probably a little sarcastic edge to it.
Yes, that is true, and it will become apparent probably more through the show.
Uh-huh.
I do offer my condolences to you, Dan, because you cured this person, or it went, or as the allopathic medicine would say, spontaneous remission. The unfortunate thing for you is you're getting no residual effect, no money. You've cured her.
Yeah.
That's not the allopathic way.
Right. And as you know, we sort of laugh at this, but there is an element of truth in it. Those treatments that tend to cost a lot of money stick around for a long time. In many cases, long after they've been scientifically refuted. But they stick around because financial interests, fight for them.
Well, yes, it's much like the cure for cancer is chemotherapy and radiation. That unfortunately is totally wrong. I don't see how weakening your immune system cures cancer.
And weakening the immune system through what method?
The chemo and the radiation.
Yeah. Okay. Just to be clear for everybody that the chemotherapy drugs are, they really do kill cancer cells, but they also really hammer the immune system, and they make the mitochondria somewhat dysfunctional, which is, according to Otto Warburg, is at the very root of the development of cancer.
That is right. And the whole point of the show is to, when you get a diagnosis from your, quote, allopathic doctor, don't necessarily agree with the treatments that he goes into. Use your own judgment, do your own research, and, you know, see if you can come up with something, some nature alternative method of strengthening your immune system.
Now, that's sort of a nice introduction to the rest of the show, which is that, Roger, you had some real serious physical challenges years ago, and you probably had some diagnoses that may have been useful, maybe not, but why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, I was having problems with diarrhea, and I also had gastrointestinal problems, upset stomach. You know, I couldn't keep certain foods down. I would also have, like, brain fog issues. And
that's very important, just for everybody's understanding. It's very important because in your particular profession, which we won't go into, the brain, you know, the mental functioning is primary.
Absolutely. And I went to see, quote, normal allopathic doctors, and they told me, well, it was just a virus, nothing to worry about, you know, this. And I did not like the answers that they gave me. And so I went to a, quote, a vegetarian, you know, group that's here in the county that I live in. There was a lady there that runs a herbal store. And she recommended, and I took, a BTA test. Now, the BTA is an acronym for Biological Terrain Assessment Test. All it is, it's your first urine and your saliva in the morning after a 12-hour fast. And it's run through these tests, and she had the computer software for it. And it came back out that my thyroid was, how shall I say, under attack. My adrenals were under stressed. And it said I had high heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the high heavy metals, it would not say which heavy metals they were. It just said you had high heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from that, I went to another place, you know, locally, and showed them the test. They did a test chelation on me, and after, you know, sending the test to the place in Chicago, I believe it was, it came back, I had actually lead and mercury poisoning.
Now, just for in case anybody's listening in doesn't understand the word chelation, it's putting certain chemicals in the body that will attach to heavy metals so that they can come out typically in the urine.
Right. Anyway, I then went on chelation therapy, and it became much better. I also then went to see, now, in the state I live in, you cannot have a naturopath doctor treat you. The only thing he can do is assist the allopathic doctor.
Roger, at this point, I think we want to go to a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back, and you can tell us more about the naturopath or the effects of the chelation treatment. I do want to hand out the call-in phone number in case anybody wants to call in with a question for myself or Roger. And it's 505-424-4550. This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Renal Medicine, and today's show is about taking control of your own health care, and also about some mercury problems. And my call-in guest today, Roger, you were telling us about mercury and lead poisoning and the position of a naturopathic physician in your state.
Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned before, the naturopath in the state I live in is not allowed to diagnose to the patient. He can only serve as a consultant to the allopathic doctor, which basically shows the monopoly power of the allopathic doctor industry.
Yeah, and I would even say that, you know, if you read a lot about the history of healthcare or the history of medicine, you find that people think that it's a scientific inquiry into how to heal people and an effort to make that happen in the best possible way. But what you find over and over again is that the history of medicine is a brutal turf war for healthcare dollars.
That is true. Well, anyway, the person told me, not the naturopath doctor, but the nurse practitioner that was doing the results, she told me, find a dentist to get rid of your mercury amalgam fillings. You have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the great thing was, it took I had contacted six dentists before I found one that would take them out. I'll never forget one dentist. I hate to tell you how many times I had my teeth cleaned. but this one dentist, you know, he sits there and he asks after he cleans my teeth what I needed, and I told him. And it was a standard refrain that I got from the other five. Well, the FDA says there's nothing wrong with those mercury amalgam fillings.
Yeah.
Well, that's not entirely true. But anyway,
it's not entirely true that the FDA doesn't say that, or that they're not entirely safe.
Well, they sit there and they say they're not entirely safe. They say it's fine for a normal human being.
Uh-huh.
However, if a pregnant woman has those mercury fillings in her, it could attack the unborn fetus,
mm-hmm,
and create problems that way for the unborn fetus.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, if you're a pregnant woman, the mercury fillings, the FDA grudgingly will admit that it causes problems. If you are a normal male or a normal female, unpregnant female, why, it's perfectly safe and acceptable. There is a logic missing there, unfortunately. Anyway, this dentist that I went to, I'll never forget what he said. He says, I'm not going to argue with you that mercury is dangerous. It's dangerous anywhere in this room, but it's safe inside your mouth.
And I've heard this so many times about it's dangerous when they bring it into the room. It's dangerous when they're preparing it. And they're actually under strict regulation about about purchasing, about mixing, the mixing procedure, about how to handle the excess left over after they put it in your mouth, in your tooth. But yet, and they can't just flush it down the toilet.
Oh, right, right. It has to go into a, if any of it goes comes out of your mouth, the EPA says it has to go into a special medical bag labeled toxic medical waste.
Right.
I mean, one, that's basically everything you need to know about our government and health care right there and then. And that is my opinion. You know, the station is not responsible for my opinion. Anyway, finally this dentist took out the fillings. It took over a year because you would only do two at a time. They were not done the way the naturopaths want it to be done, with you breathing oxygen, and they all had were breathing oxygen. And I mean, the only thing I had in my mouth was a rubber dam just to prevent the mercury from going down the throat.
Mm-hmm.
And he would only do them two at a time, and I had to wait about a month before he would do two more, just in case there was any side effect. So that tells you how safe it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got rid of the mercury fillings, you know, and I started doing some more chelation on my own. I started taking chlorella under your recommendation, spirulina under your recommendation, and
just to be clear, my recommendation was very specific about the sources.
Right.
Because chlorella particularly has an affinity for heavy metals. That's why we like to use it to remove heavy metals. But if it's grown in a medium that has heavy metals, it'll pick it up from while it's growing. And sometimes there are certain products that are intended to remove heavy metals that actually drop off more than they pick up.
Yes. And it's beautiful. You know, the diarrhea stopped very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I also take 300 milligrams of alpha lipoic acid every day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that anyone, if they're suffering from mercury poisoning, start out with that high of a dose. You could probably get away with maybe 100 milligrams, but you could work up to 300. I also noticed that, you know, before I had the mercury fillings out, I used to get a horrible chest cold or the flu at least once a year. That no longer happens. The gastrointestinal problems are gone. The brain fog problems are now gone after two or three years of chelating the heavy metals out of your body. I actually feel much better. And
I mean, how long has it been in your life since you have felt this good?
Oh, good heavens. Teenager years. I've had these mercury amalgam fillings in my mouth for at least 40 years. You don't, if you have had those fillings in for 40 years, you do not get rid of the mercury that is accumulated in your body overnight.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't happen. You have to accept that fact. But You do see, if you take the right steps, you do see the gradual improvement. And you also see improvement in other aspects of your life. In fact, I've become passionate about telling people about the mercury amalgam fillings.
So that it's almost like once you really got yourself straightened out and you knew how to do that, you know how to go through that process. You really got enthused about telling other people.
Absolutely. One one client of mine, he went to his dentist for a filling.
And let's be clear about what you mean by client. This is an acquaintance that you're giving advice to, but you're giving that advice.
Right, right.
You're not charging for that advice.
No. I am not a doctor, and I do not play one on TV. And he went to his dentist and said, you're not putting a mercury amalgam filling in. And then, of course, he told the dentist that. And she says, no. This is the composite fillings.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, obviously he was one of the persons that are affected by it. Well, no offense, but I would venture to say that just about everyone that has got those blank fillings in their mouth, I was going to curse, but I didn't, is affected in some way. The problem is that for me it was the problems I mentioned before. For someone else, it might be, you know, the triggering of the immune system, you know, the weakening of the immune system, so maybe Parkinson's shows up, or lupus, or MS.
Or depression, or kidney problems, and the list goes on.
Right, yeah. There are a couple of very good websites up there for your audience. One is CureZone.com, and you would then do a search for, like, mercury poisoning symptoms, and it'll get you to the page. And the other one is called mercurypoisoning.me, and they have a basic list of, like, all the various problems that the mercury has caused in people.
Mm-hmm.
And
Roger, at this point, we're gonna go to a break again.
Okay.
And a couple minutes later, you'll be back, and you can tell us about some of the things you've done with all what you've learned.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. I want to give you the call-in number if you have a question for myself or Roger, who has called in to tell his story. And that number is 505-424-4550. So, Roger, I guess you've become a resource for friends and acquaintances that have various physical problems that you think that you might have a better idea about, even though you have, you know, the medical background you have is what you've read and studied and researched for your own problems. But many times, what you have advised has come to be very valuable.
That's true. I am friends with a woman that lives in Ohio. And one day we were chatting, and she said, well, I can't chat long. I have to go see my doctor. And I said, well, what's the problem? And she basically told me she had diarrhea, depression. And her doctor, and she said that her doctor did not like to prescribe medicines. But her doctor put her on, instead of trying to figure out what was causing the diarrhea, he put her on Imodium D, not the over-the-counter version, but a stronger version. For the, quote, depression, he put her on Cymbalta. And I asked her, I said, well, how many mercury fillings do you have in your mouth?
Without even knowing that she had any mercury fillings.
Without knowing that she had mercury fillings. She said 8. I pointed her out to the two websites that I mentioned before. She looked at, I told her, I says, whatever you do, get those fillings out of your mouth. And she did so. And now, she didn't do it the the naturopathic way with the oxygen and, you know, the way it's recommended. She just went to a normal dentist who did it. She did have the rubber dam in her mouth.
Uh-huh.
Well, after she had the fillings out, she has not done any chelation.
Uh-huh.
Within a month, she got off the Imodium D.
Okay.
She then asked me about Cymbalta. I looked it up in my prescription alternatives book, and Cymbalta is something that should have never been prescribed to anybody for anything.
In fact, if you look at the history of Cymbalta, many people have looked at the approval process for Cymbalta, and they say, it's amazing that this drug was approved.
Right. Well, anyway, this drug is horribly... You cannot quit this drug cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wean yourself off of it slowly. So she was described...
Now, Roger, I'm guessing that she's also asking her doctor about Cymbalta and the Imodium D and, you know, how can I get off these or do I still need these?
Her doctor basically sat there and said... Well, as long as they're controlling the symptoms, you stay on these.
Mm-hmm.
And which, you know, makes her then a prophet.
But the presumption, Roger, the presumption is the symptoms are being controlled by the drugs.
Right.
Not by the removal of the fillings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. I mean, but the basic... allopathic doctor anymore, I hate to say it, and this is my opinion, wants that profit center of those drugs because they get residual kickbacks. And he doesn't want to, quote, fix the problem. He wants to, you know, control the symptoms. Well, I suggested to her with a Cymbalta, instead of taking a pill a day, to skip a day. And take a pill every other day. You know, this is to wean yourself off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for a month. If that works and you're not having any problems, then go to a pill every 2 days. You know, and skip 2 days. Then, you know, every 3 days after another month. You know, this went on for like 5 months. And mm-hmm. I said to her, well, I think you'd be fine to quit the medicine after the... You know, if you don't need it for 5 days, I don't think you need it for the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she hasn't taken any since. She was also on a blood pressure medication. And she went to donate blood. And the guy that did the blood said, well, that took her blood pressure, says, I don't understand why you are taking this blood pressure medication because your blood pressure is like 110 over 70.
Mm-hmm. Which is sort of in the really good low range.
Mm-hmm. So she then asked me about the blood pressure medication, and that, like the Cymbalta, is not something you can... quit cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wean yourself off of it. And so I suggested, well, I hate to say it, this is going to be like a 5 or 6 month process again, you know, the skipping of the 1 day, 2 days. Well, she went to see her doctor, and she told him that she was off all these meds and everything was fine. And he was, of course, shocked, and she said, well, everything's fine. About the Cymbalta and the Imodium D. Then she goes and she says, well, I am now starting to get off the blood pressure medication. Well, he basically sat there and said, okay, if you don't, if everything seems normal, you know, just quit it cold turkey. Now, yet, according to the books, you're supposed to wean yourself off of it naturally. I mean, you know, wean yourself off of it, you know, gradually.
So in this particular case, you were a step ahead of the MD.
Actually, I think I was more than a step. every time we chat, she sits there and says that she owes me my health.
Her health.
Her health. Yeah. I apologize. Yeah, her health. And she is no longer on any drugs, and she's fine. Her only problem was one time she took the flu vaccine. And, you know, for 3 days she felt miserable, and I told her, never take it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the flu vaccine at that time had thimerosal in it.
Thimerosal, yeah.
And it may still do. And
Which is a mercury compound.
Yes, and why you want to inject that stuff in your body, I have no idea. But, I mean, there's a logic I must be missing someplace.
Yeah. Roger, let's get on to the next person. There was some other people that you've given advice to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had one person. She was a nurse. And those are the toughest to convince because mm-hmm. they have gone through the allopathic way. She had, you know, about 8 to 10 fillings in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we met, it was so romantic, we went to Walmart. And she got some pain medication that she had to take, and she told me, well, that's the reason I, you know, take these, because I have horrible menstrual cramps. Well, after about a month or so, I looked up in my alternative book, and I found black cohosh.
Mm-hmm.
I bought her a couple bottles of black cohosh, and I told her to take, you know, about a day or two before the time frame starts, to take the black cohosh, which she did. And she then told me, she said, that was the easiest time I've ever had in my life. Now, it would not surprise me that those mercury fillings are helping to screw her menstrual periods up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that for sure, but it would not surprise me. Unfortunately, I could not get her to remove the fillings because she said it was too expensive. I did not come up with a retort, you cannot afford not to. I should apologize to her probably for that.
Yeah.
But there was also something else about her. She went to see the doctor, and her doctor told her she was walking with a little limp. Her doctor said, oh, I know what this is. This is bursitis. Nothing you can do about it. Well, I saw she actually had a bone sticking out of her hip.
Hmm.
And, you know, compared to the other side.
Right.
And I says, you know, no offense, I think this is causing your problem. And all I did was, and I take no credit for it, I have an electric massager.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran that over that bone, and it, luck, whatever, it went back into her body someplace.
Or into its proper position.
I'm assuming it's into its proper position.
Yeah. Roger, at this point, we're going to go to the third break, and
okay.
We'll come back, and you can tell us about one more of your acquaintances. Well, this is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my show, Natural Medicine. I'm here with Roger, and we're talking about how he has taken control of his own health care and actually begun to advise other people about alternative methods for dealing with their own physical ailments. And there was one additional person. It was a woman with vaginal bleeding, Roger. Tell me about that story.
Yes, I met her. She was rather concerned. She went to see her doctor, and her doctor basically said, well, with vaginal bleeding, you know, he prescribed a cancer drug.
So not just a cancer drug, but chemotherapy.
Yes.
Okay, so things that tend to be very, very toxic.
Right. Well, she took it, and the bleeding stopped, and then the prescription ran out. And that's when she met me, and the bleeding had started again. Well, I went to my alternative books. You know, I got a list of her, quote, symptoms. And I went through, and I came up with this stuff called Sepia, S-E-P-I-A.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, well, when I talked to her, I says, I think your hormones are shot. She says, well, yes, they are. How'd you know? Well, I looked at your symptoms. And the Sepia, she went and ordered, and at that time it was like $12-15, and it was shipped right to her. She started taking the Sepia, and a week later, I got a great big kiss. The bleeding had stopped. She was so happy.
And it stopped without taking the chemotherapy.
Yeah, and stopped without taking the chemotherapy. Then she went to see that same doctor, and she had an ultrasound done. She had a fibrous mass, I believe.
She had a previously diagnosed, you know, a fibrous mass.
Right.
Which is probably the source of the bleeding.
Yes. And she had an ultrasound done, and her doctor sits there and says, great news, that fibrous mass seems to be shrinking. She then tells the doctor that she's been taking the Sepia, and I never heard of that. It was complete balderdash, according to him.
Right.
And
now, theoretically, we'd think that a person in the healing profession would say, oh, I've never heard of it, with a different tone of voice, right? I've never heard of it, so I want to understand it, so maybe I can use this with other patients.
That's true. But, you know, just like in the first case, I highly doubt that doctor that first lady went to would even bother to think about checking any other patients of his for mercury fillings and possible symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hate to say that, but that's the way that, and I'm not going to say every doctor is like that, but it seems like that's the way the profession is heading. They do not want to cure, they want to control the symptom.
And to a large degree, at the, you know, the doctor you see, they are sort of, you know, they're educated in a certain way. They get almost no education about nutrition, almost no education about herbal medicine, and in some cases it's none. And they're also sort of, there's something called the standard of care hanging over their head, so that if they stay within the standard of care, they don't get into trouble with their state board, and it's hard to get sued. But if they diverge from the standard of care, then they risk both of those problems. So they're sort of, in some ways, they're not really, you know, nailed down to their particular approach to medicine, but it's a little fearful for them to diverge from it.
It's much like, as Joseph Heller said, a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well, I will. Anyway, you know, I haven't talked to her recently. Hopefully she is still taking the Sepia, and hopefully the fibrous mass went away.
Okay.
I will say one thing. I had a mentally retarded brother. He is now deceased. And my sister and I were his co-guardians after my parents died. And I'll never forget, you know, seeing the doctor with my brother. And he sat there, and he says, well, there's this new medicine out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like, you know, to control his seizures. I'd like to put him on it. Well, I said to him in a what I thought was a pleasant voice, what are the side effects of this medicine? He said, well, anything you put in your mouth, you have a side effect. And that was the end of the story. On his act, he still went ahead and wanted to prescribe the medicine, you know, full dose, and then he would slightly wean him off the other medicines that he was taking to, quote, control the seizures. And that's a time that I became flippant, and I said to him, why don't you take these medicines in these dosages? Because you can tell us what it's doing to you. He can't.
Oh, my God.
And I became persona non grata to that doctor after that.
Right. Roger, we just have a few minutes left. What we want to do is summarize. And you know, my summarization is that it's a good idea to think, you know, if you've got challenging physical challenges, to take control of your own health care. Now, I would like you to give me your version of your summary of the show here. We got about 2 minutes here.
You must take control of your own health care. No one else will do it for you.
And
you must analyze whatever the doctor tells you, whatever he prescribes. Don't just take it verbatim. Look it up on the internet. Find out what the side effects are. You know, anything. See if there is some, quote, naturopathic or alternative method before you go into the allopathic way of doing things.
And don't let the alternative doctors, you know, get a free ride. You know, check out what they say. Look that up on the internet. Form your own conclusion about what they say. You know, everybody has to play by the same rules. Or I would say that, you know, but yeah, so check everybody out, but also look to the alternative for possible methods of treatment.
I would suggest that for everyone out there to look at alternative methods first, then go to the allopathic or, quote, normal medicine. It's the only way, in my viewpoint, that you can, you know, stay healthy throughout your lifespan.
Okay.
Because, like, there's nothing wrong with a little extra vitamin C in your life.
Mm-hmm. Roger, I want to do my final summary here. I want to thank everybody that tuned in for listening today, and I also want to thank you for telling your story on my show.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Okay.